We deceive ourselves when the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, we have sinned ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I invite you to rise for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Our hymn of praise this Epiphany season is hymn number 310, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise, because it talks about Epiphany and manifestation. And we sing verses 1 and 4 only at this time. Hymn 310, verses 1 and 4 only. Our first reading, the Old Testament reading for this Sunday, is from the book of Jonah, the third chapter of that book. This also is part of the text for the sermon today, so pay attention. There will be a test. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, and saying, "Get up and go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. Now when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that God had said he would bring upon them. And God did not do it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalmody for today is Psalm number 62. We read it responsively as it's found in your worship bulletin insert. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from God. God alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor, my mighty rock, my refuge is in God. Trust in God at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before the one who is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no confidence in extortion. And set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this. The power belongs to God, and steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord. For you repay to all according to their work, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And the second reading for this Sunday comes from 1 Corinthians, the first letter to the church in Corinth, the 7th chapter of that letter. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth with these words. I mean, brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let those, even those, who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning. And those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing. And those who buy as though they had no possessions. And those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. From the Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately, Jesus called them, And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of St. Mark, the first chapter and the third chapter in Jonah, one of my favorite books. Let's pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight. You who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. There's an old joke which has Jesus speaking. And Jesus in this joke says this, quote, "You catch them, and I'll clean them." Sound like a deal? You catch them, and I'll clean them. The last few years I lived in Montana as a pastor. There were a group of us, 14 every year, that went up 12 hours north of the Canadian border to Besnard Lake, where the northern pike and the walleye were unbelievable. We would catch our limit every day, 14 fishermen, and the last year we actually had two fisherwomen with us, the granddaughter and her best friend. They were both 10 years old, but all the grandsons used to get to go. They thought the granddaughter should be able to go too. And so Grandpa roomed with them, and we all roomed in a different cabin. But we all caught our limit. Every day, for 5 days in a row, 14 people would catch their limit of walleye and pike. And oh my word, I had never fished like that in the Cascades or in Oregon in my life. And then we had a shore lunch, and that's a whole sermon unto itself. Cast iron frying pan, a quarter of a pound of butter per fish on the shore of the lake. It was the best meal I've ever had in my life. Sorry, God, even over communion. Can't go wrong with butter and walleye. And then we bring all the fish. The biggest fish we caught, we had it in competition, was 38-pound northern pike. One of them, I didn't, but no, 38-pound northern pike was caught by one of our fishermen during the 5 days. They were usually in the teens or the low 20s, maybe. It was that big a fish. The northern. The walleye were just big, fat, you know, 2-pound, 3-pound fish. We come in with the fish in the boat. We get out of the boat, and we go to the cabin and get cleaned up for supper. Because the indigenous women, bless their hearts, the indigenous women got 5 cents a pound. Now, you do the math. Even for the 98 pounds, even for the 38 pound, it's under $2 a fish. Most of the fish, especially the walleye, were under a buck. They would clean and gut, scale, and fillet the fish. Package them up so they could be frozen for those 5 days. In the back of the school bus that we went up to Canada in, the farmer, bless his heart, the ingenuity of farmers, he had a huge chest freezer. Huge. That would hold all of the fish, minus one fillet. He didn't want to go through customs with too many fillets of fish. So we always were 1/4 of our limit, and he took the one fillet short. But the indigenous women, bless their hearts, and you've never seen a fish so clean, so scaled, and so processed. 5 cents a pound. Jesus says, you catch them, I'll clean them. One of the shortest and most important sermons given by Jesus in all the Gospels is in today's Gospel of Mark. More important, and you can quote me, more important than the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, 7 of Matthew, more important than the sermons found in the Gospel of John, my favorite Gospel, chapter 15 of Mark 1. Listen again. Now after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God's sake. This is the whole sermon. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Amen. Go away. It's that simple and that complex. The kingdom of God has come near. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let this food to us be blessed. Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come. On earth, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that all the time. The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near. And then we look around the world and go, huh? Believe and trust in the good news that Jesus brings. The kingdom of God is found 66 times in the Bible. Go home and dust off your Bibles and count them. Prove me wrong. 66 times in the New Testament, not the Old, the kingdom of God is found. 32 times the kingdom of heaven is found in the New Testament. Matthew likes kingdom of heaven. Luke and Mark like kingdom of God. And what does that mean? That's fancy language, religious language, for God reigns. The kingdom of God is like this. God's reign is like this, and it is near. And yet, we, like every generation, I'm thinking of you, Dustin, in our conversation at midnight. We, like every generation, look at the world and all the problems, the strife, the chaos, and the wrongs of the world, and wonder, where is God now? My mother listens to too much news. She doesn't watch soap operas. She doesn't watch old movies because they're silly. I love old movies. But she watches news 24/7. And our conversations for the past few years have been, where is God now? With war and famine and death and strife and chaos. You know where God is. God is with us. Even in the midst of death and life, even in the midst of war and peace, even in the midst of strife and chaos, God is with us, Emmanuel. In the world, in all of the problems, the chaos, the wrongs of the world, God is right here beside us. But how soon do we forget that? You are called to share the good news, to trust and believe and have faith. You don't have to, and you are not called to gut, scale, and clean. The Holy Spirit will gut, scale, and clean. God's grace will do the same thing. First Communion students, God's grace. Confirmation students, past and present, God's grace. God's undeserved love, God's love in action. Not in a world to come, not in heaven by and by high in the sky. Now, on this earth, God's love in his action. And we are part of that love in action towards one another. How we care, how we love, how we forgive one another. You are called to share the good news, but not to gut, scale, and clean. Jesus will do that, along with the Holy Spirit. And then we've got one of the best fish stories in the whole world. Even better than Pinocchio, and that's my favorite Disney film of all time, Pinocchio. But even better than Pinocchio, Jonah. Go home and read Jonah. It's only 4 chapters long. It'll take you, 20 minutes to read the whole thing. It'll take you 200 years to understand it. We've got the story of Jonah and that great city of Nineveh. Listen again. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Okay, that's important because the first time, Jonah heard the word of the Lord and he ran away. All he was called to do was to share. He didn't have to gut clean or scale anything. But he ran away to Tarshish, got on a boat, and there was a huge storm and nobody knew why the storm was happening. And Jonah says, it's my fault, throw me over. And so the sailors reluctantly threw Jonah overboard. And a great fish, white mouth bass, not a whale, that's Pinocchio. Monstro the Whale in Pinocchio. Rent it, show it to your grandkids, your niece and nephews. It's a marvelous film. Anyway, a great fish swallowed up Jonah for 3 days. The fish got indigestion. He wasn't digestible. Threw the Jonah up on the shore 3 days later, and God then comes. The word of the Lord came a second time to Jonah, saying, get up and go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah set out for the second time and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, 3 days' walk across, i.e. 75 miles, roughly. 75 miles across, that's how great this city was. And it was an enemy of the Jewish people. Okay, Nineveh was not a nice place, it was an evil place. And it was an enemy of the Jewish people, foreigners, okay? So Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown, annihilated, made into dust. That was his whole sermon, his whole prophecy. 40 days more, and Nineveh, this great, wonderful city that's so evil and so foreign and so pagan, will be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. That's the miracle, folks. Forget about the indigestion of the white-mouthed bass and all that kind of stuff, and the sailors having pity on Jonah not wanting to throw him overboard, because the worst thing for a Jewish or Hebrew person was to drown. They're desert people. They don't like water. They don't like the ocean, the Sea of Galilee. So he basically was saying, go ahead, throw me over and let me die. But God saved him with the white-mouthed bass that threw him up on the shore 3 days later. The people of Nineveh believed and trusted and had faith in God. And they proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. Go home and read all the verses that were left out. All the way from the king of Nineveh down to the cattle put on sackcloth and ashes, a sign of mourning and repentance. That's why we have Ash Wednesday, right, coming up on Valentine's Day this year in February. Ashes, remember your dust, and to dust you shall return. They put on sackcloth and ashes from the king all the way down to the cattle in the stalls because they believed God. And then comes the other miracle. The people believed God, and then this. When God saw what they, the people in Nineveh, these pagans and foreigners and evil people did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed God's mind about the calamity that God said he would do and bring upon. And God did not do it. Really? We can change God's mind by being in relationship with God. We can be in conversation with God like Jonah the prophet was. We can be able to hear God and God hear us when we pray? Yes. There's a reason Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night he was arrested, the night before he was crucified, said, Lord, this is not going to be fun. Take this cup from me. Poetic language, Shakespeare. Take this cup from me. Take this event from me. I don't want to have to die on the cross. But not my will, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Even Jesus knew that he could change God's mind. But even Jesus knew that God knew better. And that somebody had to die for all of us who should be gutted and scaled and filleted. And so Jesus sacrificed himself. And that's the greatest gift of all. The greatest gift of all is that God, God's self, through Jesus the Christ, one of the Trinity, gave himself that you might have life and love and forgiveness, not only yourself, but for one another. Jonah didn't want them to be saved. He didn't want to prophesy to them. He didn't want to convert them. He wanted them to be annihilated. As my friend who fought two times in Vietnam as a doctor, he was a doctor, chaplain, or the medical, he said, we want to turn them to green glass. Done. That's the talk between Gaza and Israel right now. That's the talk in the Middle East. No. People can change their mind. Especially when God comes into their life and they're gutted and scaled and filleted. The Holy Spirit does that. Jesus Christ does that. God's grace enters into their lives. So the real message today is for you is share. Share with one another God's love. Share with one another God's grace and peace. even in the midst of chaos and war and problems and death and strife. God is with you in it all, Emmanuel. You don't have to gut, clean, or scale anything. You simply have to share the good news. For the kingdom is near, the kingdom is now. It is here. Amen. This hymn is so appropriate. I will follow Jesus. Immediately, the four fisher people left the boats, left the nets, left their family, left the hired people, and they followed Jesus. Mark is just amazing gospel, okay? Immediately, they followed Jesus. And they're like, really? Wow, they really trusted. They really believed. This is an old Indian folk tune, okay? I think of Arnie Burgermeister up in the balcony, who did the Peace Corps in India. He'll tell you about it someday. This is an old Indian folk tune found in the other songbook, hymn number 87, he says confidently. Am I right? Should you have Jess? I have decided to follow Jesus. We are going to sing all three verses in the music, but then there's a fourth verse on the bottom in little print. We're going to sing that one too, okay? Marla Abrams not here to say, we're going to sing all the verses. I'm going to do that for her. So all four verses, I've decided to follow Jesus. Hymn number 87, an old Indian folk. We pray for our mission partner ministry, the Rising Star Therapeutic Riding Center in Twin Falls, Idaho. We pray for the staff, the horses, and the riders. Nationally and around the world, we pray for all those who have lost life and property,
especially due to the wars in Ukraine and Russia, Sudan, Gaza, and Israel, and to natural disasters across our nation and across the world. I guess ice storms have been a new thing for the Midwest and the South, and so people have lost their life, especially on interstates and highways, not knowing how to drive in the ice. Ice was in the back parking lot this morning. I was hoping that it was thawing out more. We've had a couple of people fall already today, so be careful when you leave this place, especially the shady, wet parts. We also pray a prayer due to death and burial. Besides the death of Joseph Christian a week and a half ago, the Christian family has experienced and suffered three more deaths this week within their family. So remember the whole Christian family in our prayers. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, for all of God's creation, for all people who are in need. Almighty God, O God, our rock and our salvation and our deliverance, do not let your church be shaken. We trust you will never abandon your promises and steadfast love to the vulnerable among us. Give your church wisdom and empathy in all of its ministries. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer and let your light shine. Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. O God, our hope and our refuge, you place fish in the sea, whales and white-mouthed bass. Give the care of oceans and all creatures that live in them. May fields flourish, rivers flow pure and clean, and may the heavens shine brightly with your light. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer and let your light shine.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. O God, you desire peace and justice in the world. God, who proclaims judgment and offers mercy, be a model to the leaders of our nation and the world. Provide relief for those in war-torn areas of the world. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Instead, let us show mercy, compassion, love, and hope to one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer and let your light shine.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Protect and cherish the most vulnerable among us. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we lift up before you now in our own hearts and minds. Be Emmanuel, God with us. To those who look to you for hope and healing, be with those who are depressed, grieving, lonely, or isolated. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment, and give compassionate heart to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer and let your light shine.
Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church and all of the ministries you are faithfully a part of. In this new year, we give you thanks for all the gifts and resources you provide for us to minister to one another. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer and let your light shine.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you. Especially this day, we remember Joseph and those who we name before you in our own hearts and minds. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and new life and hope in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer and let your light shine.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ,
who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the third Sunday after Epiphany. Especially welcome to all of you who are here visiting here with us today in person and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Marissa Domchowski. Happy birthday this week to Ashley Woonsock, Cindy Campbell, John Annan, Holly Size, Raquel Daig, Taryn Rowe, Heidi Winder. There will be no coffee hour this morning. The annual congregational meeting will be held at 11:15 a.m. in the sanctuary this morning. And there is another announcement.
You're stuck with me. Annual meeting report. Some of you noticed the table out there. There's a checkoff sheet. Please check off your name if you pick one up for the meeting, or if you're not able to stay for the meeting, take yours. Those with family members that you can deliver them to this week, that would help us with postage. They're going to be over $1 a piece to mail out, but we mail them to all of our membership, voting members. And annual meeting report is available to anybody. There's no secrets there. So even if the person's not a voting member, that they can have one, but we would ask that you let our secretary know that you want one of those, and then you'll pick it up. But if you have family members not here today that you could deliver them to, that would help us out, or friends or neighbors, that would help us out with the postage, and that would be a great thing. Check off their names, though, too, so that they don't get one from you, and then get one from us in the mail also.
I now invite the communion assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our offertory hymn is hymn 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion.
Let us pray. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of the one who gave himself for us, Jesus the Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
I invite you to rise for the great thanksgiving found on page 144 in the front of the hymn, page 144. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise you, Almighty and merciful God. through our Savior, Jesus Christ. By the leading of the star, he is shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in a miracle of water turned into wine, he revealed your glory, the epiphany of who you are. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
The body of Christ. The body of Christ.
celebration. So 551, the Spirit sends us forth to serve.